If ye be a tree, what tree be ye? I've got to steal that sometime. I can't preach that here because you guys will. But if ye be a tree, what tree be ye? Are you a maple tree? Are you an oak tree? Are you a weeping willow? Now, he, boy, I love weeping willow trees. And he just chopped them down and burned them right out there this morning. So I guess we'll have to find something else. But that was a good message, a fun message. I appreciate that. Next month will be December 22nd. Will be the senior meeting, and so we'll find out what tree we get to hear about, the Christmas tree, I guess. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, going away from our normal Wednesday night and studying Bible characters, and we want to pause on the thought of being thankful. And I did not want to do what, you know me, I have a hard time being boxed in. I don't want to do what I have a hard time with what's expected of me sometimes, and we're going to talk about thankfulness. I didn't want to tell you what you're supposed to be thankful for. I guess that's what I'm saying. Most, you know, you come to this service. Well, here's what you should be thankful for: your salvation. You should be thankful for your church. You should be thankful for your home. You should be thankful for your King James Bible. You should be thankful for the family. That's all true. You know all that. So I wanted to preach on something other than just what you should be thankful for. So the title of my message tonight is The Attitude of Gratitude. It's not so much that thankfulness is an action, but thankfulness is an attitude. And there's a lot of folks that don't have the attitude, if I can use that cliche, of gratitude. So look at Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 12, read down through verse 15. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says this: Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Church, that's you. All right? The elect of God, holy and beloved. The Bible says, put on bowels of mercy. Now, that's not bowls. Not bowls of mercy, although that's kind of a good description. It's just a lot. Bowls of mercy. It's bowels of mercy. It comes from inside. It comes from the heart. And the Bible says, as believers, we should put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Understand, if every child of God put on just those things right there, there'd be no squabbles, there'd be no bickering, there'd be no getting upset. I spent a good part of my day, and I'll be careful, and it doesn't affect anybody here, but spent a good part of my day today mediating between two Christians squabbling. And both of them had been offended by something the other one said. And, you know, as a preacher, you have to have a heart. You have to bite your lip a lot of times and not say exactly what you're thinking. But both of them got offended by the other one. And what the other one said was so silly. Why in the world do you get offended by that? But we wear our emotions on our shirt sleeves so many times. And we're so easily offended. And the Bible says that we should put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, if we could just get everybody to put that patch on right there, how much easier life would be. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. Charity, a love that causes you to give. Not just of money, not just of finance, but give of yourself. Give of your compassion. Give of your mercies. Give of your long-suffering. Above all these things, put on the charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's very challenging that be ye thankful comes at the end of that list. We don't want to say, well, I'm thankful. Are you? You have bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving, charity. The Bible says put on all these things and be thankful. That's putting thankfulness at the very end. That means that thankfulness is a high and lofty goal. Again, not just the action of thankfulness, but the attitude of thankfulness. We live in a thankless world. People expect things. It should be given. It's not just we call it a welfare mentality or whatever you want. It's the mentality of the world. And it reaches into Christianity. Expectations. You know what the Lord said? It's more blessed to give than to receive. We're thankful to receive. We ought to be thankful to give. And I think it's instructional that be ye thankful comes at a long list of other things that the Bible says as children of God we ought to put on. The first Thanksgiving was in 1621. You know that. And it was a three-day feast. I wish our Thanksgivings were still like that. They made it through the harsh winter of 1620. Half of the pilgrims that had come over on the Mayflower died. When it came to the fall of 1621, not only did they have enough supply for the winter season ahead of them, but they had so much that they had this day of this feast of Thanksgiving. They had an abundance as they went into the winter. The winter before, they had nothing, and half of their number died. This second winter, as they got together, they had enough stored up for the winter to supply and also to throw a big feast before it happened. So for that first Thanksgiving, they had a feast. They were probably thankful that the unpardonable sin was not the sin of gluttony, because they had a feast for 3 days. They had games, they had competitions, they had exhibitions. The Indians showed how that they shot, and the pilgrims showed how they shot. All of them went out and brought in the food for it. The pilgrims went out with their muskets, and they went out and shot waterfowl. They brought in the ducks. They brought in the geese. They went out and shot the wild turkeys. Yes, Virginia, there was turkey at the first Thanksgiving. Wild turkeys, but they shot turkey. The Indians, who were not quite as apt with a bow and arrow at shooting those fast-moving animals or those smaller animals, went out and brought in 5 deer. And they all got together with that meat and, of course, corn. You can't have Thanksgiving without corn, Sonia. You can't have Thanksgiving without corn. Now, their corn was a little different. It wasn't like our sweet corn. They ground it up and made meal out of it, and they called it more of a porridge. But they had everything they needed. Some historians tell us they also had they had eel, they had fish, they had vegetables, they had fruit, all these things that they grew. I just listed the things that William Bradford himself said were there at the first Thanksgiving. So we know for certain those were there because an eyewitness said it. Others, culinary experts of our day, I think that's hilarious, culinary experts of our day, suppose that these other foods were there 400 years ago or whatever it was. But we know that they had all these things together and at a big feast for 140 people, 90 Indians and 50 of the pilgrims that were left from the first over 100 that had come over. Only 50 were left, and only 4 of those pilgrims were women, because so many had died during the harsh winters. And they celebrated that Thanksgiving that first day as they got together, that 1621. Now, the next two Thanksgivings after that were not quite as celebratory. They were a little bit rougher. The winter was hard. The summer was dry, and they didn't grow as much. And it took a few years before they got back to really celebrating that the way they did that first year. But they got together that first year to be thankful. They'd gone through a lot of things for that past year. Their voyage from Holland into England and across the Atlantic into Plymouth and then down into the colonies and where they were at the time. And they celebrated getting through those things and all the things. They were a thankful people. You know what usually makes us thankful? Experiencing hardships. You know when you're thankful for your food? When you know what it's like to go hungry. You know when you're thankful for your health? When you've had it taken away for a period of time. And the sad lesson of the Word of God is that we have a hard time with really being thankful. For some reason, we have to experience the awful harshness of the winters before we become thankful for God's provision. And isn't that interesting? Because that's how God usually works in our lives. He usually takes us through a time of destitution, a time of not answering our prayers, a time of us thinking the heavens are brass and God's not. He usually takes us through that time so that when He comes and shows Himself to be God, we are thankful for it because He didn't give us what we wanted exactly when we wanted it. Be thankful. I want to give you some verses, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to them because there's 28. 28 verses in the Bible where the word thanksgiving appears. And I'm not going to read through all of them either, but I want you to listen to them. And I want you to get the gist of what God is saying when He talks about thanksgiving. There's many before this, but the first one I'm going to read is Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. The Bible says, offer unto God thanksgiving. Now, let me start by saying this. Does that sound like a request, or does it sound like a command? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Did He say, if you feel like it, or if you want to, or if it doesn't put you out too far, offer unto God thanksgiving. Now, with that in mind, listen to these other verses. Psalm 95:2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Now, keep that same thought in mind. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 104. Enter into His thanks with thanksgiving. That is a command. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. You understand the clarity of this? God's not making this optional. He's not saying, depending on how you feel on any certain day or time. He said, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Let's go over to the New Testament. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. To God, thanksgiving's not optional. Now, I'm not talking about the holiday, obviously. And I forgot to mention that Indians and pilgrims, after they got done, they played football because you have to have football on Thanksgiving. So the pilgrims, the Indians, and the Patriots, or whoever they were, they had to have played football. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, be rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding, a command. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. When God uses that word thanksgiving, He commands us to observe it. Again, not the fourth Thursday of November, but a constant spirit of being thankful to God. The word thanksgiving appears 28 times in the Bible. I mentioned that to you. How about not the word thanksgiving? How about just be thankful? Psalm 100, verse 4, which I read already because it has thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's a command. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Colossians 3, verse 15, which we read. And be ye thankful. It is really our blessing and our privilege and our experience to be able to be thankful. Another phrase that's in the Bible very often The other phrase is give thanks. Give thanks. That phrase is in the Bible 35 times. Give thanks. Again, just some of them, not all of them. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Now that doesn't sound like a please. It doesn't sound like I wish you would. Give thanks unto the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks. Psalm 105:1, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Psalm 118, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. You get, I want you to hear it because I just want you to understand when the Bible talks about thankfulness, being thankful, thanksgiving, it just tells us that we need to be thankful. Now here's the sad part of the whole thing. Why should God have to make a command to do something we should do naturally anyways? That's the sad part of all these things, all these phrases. Be thankful, come before Him with thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why should God have to tell us that? Don't we have enough that we should be thankful for, that God shouldn't have to tell us to say thank you? You know what we teach our children when they're little? When somebody gives them something, we make sure they know how to say thank you. We teach them to be thankful. All right, we're not children. We're adults. How many times do we say thank you to God for the things He gives us? Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for our church, for our families. Thank you for our freedom. You know when we'll appreciate it? When we don't have it anymore. Talk about the old days, the way it used to be, when we had our freedoms. Be thankful. Look, if you would, a couple of verses. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're studying Romans chapter 1. I like what Brother Gary said this morning. I think I like it. He said we're doing a very theological study in Sunday school, in the adult class, in Romans chapter 1. And if I can quote him right, he said, sometimes when people are teaching theologically, they go down deep, they stay down long, and they come up dry. But he said, we're going down deep, we're staying down long, and the pastor's coming up all wet. And I wasn't sure that was a compliment. Usually when people tell you you're all wet, that's not really a good thing. But I think he meant it. I think he meant it good. So we'll just let it go with that. You meant well. Okay. But look at Romans chapter 1. And we'll study this later, the downward degression of mankind. But in verse 21 it says, But that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. When we look at our modern day society and list the sins of our modern day, when we talk about homosexuality, we talk about same-sex marriage, we talk about abortion, we talk about drunkenness, we talk about the increase in drug use. Who would have dreamed 40 or 50 years ago there would be on the ballot a referendum to legalize an illegal drug for recreational use? Who'd have even thought that? So when we list sins that we think are offensive to God, you know what God says? He said, neither were they thankful. Now I know different sins come in different categories. We're not like the Catholic Church that calls them mortal sins and all that kind of stuff and the other sins and menial sins, but sin is sin as far as the payment of sin comes for eternity, but there are different levels of sin when it comes to punishment in this life. All right? If you murder someone, your punishment should be more drastic than if you went speeding down the road, per se. All right? There are levels of punishment for things. But you know what? God mixes this whole thing up, and when He talks about a list of sins of the last days, He says, traitors, petty, high-minded, unthankful. Look at that over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read this list of what the Bible tells us is going to be like in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We believe that we're living in the last days. I believe the last days have been the last 2,000 years, scripturally. And so we're 2,000 years into the last days. That makes us really in the last days. And in those last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You know, those are some pretty heinous sins. The next word says, unthankful. What a shame that God has to say to the Christian, be ye thankful. It ought to come natural to us. It ought to not just be at a Wednesday, Tuesday night service on the week of Thanksgiving or a senior saints meeting or even at a testimony time, but it ought to be something that's evident in our life all the time, that we live as thankful people. That doesn't mean we have to go around saying, well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, don't have to be fruity about it. But it means that we ought to always have an attitude of thankfulness. People shouldn't have to pull it out of us. Shouldn't be forced. It should be sincere and honest. Because we read in the Bible that in the last days, this world is going to be unthankful. Look, if you would, back at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Thankfulness is not an action. You know what somebody could say? Oh, thanks a lot. You know what you just got out of that? That was not the attitude of thankfulness you wanted. It's not in the words. It's in the attitude that comes with the words. When somebody says, thanks a lot, pal, that usually means you didn't do them a favor. And so just the words don't carry the meaning. It's the attitude that comes with the words. And again, the Bible makes that clearer than anything that we could say. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse number 10. You know the story. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's as far as his prayer got. God, I thank thee. You ought to get your concordance out sometime and look at that phrase, I thank thee. Jesus used it twice. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid this from the wise and revealed it to babes. But here's a man using the same exact phrase, but with a completely different attitude. And it doesn't hold muster. It doesn't pass the sincerity test. It doesn't come from a heart. Remember the be ye thankful, the list in Colossians that came after bowels of mercy and tenderness and forgiving one another? Well, here's a man that did not have those qualities. So when the words, I thank thee, come out of his mouth, they're hollow. They're tin. They're insincere. He said the right words. I mean, the Bible says, oh, give thanks. Come before him with thanksgiving. He stands up and he says, God, I thank thee. But I like the way the Bible says it. He stood and prayed thus with himself. That prayer didn't get any higher than the top of his head and fell flat to the ground. Why? Because it was insincere. I thank thee. Folks say, well, I'll be thankful then because I'm supposed to be thankful. That isn't going to work. We need to be thankful because we want to be thankful. We need to be thankful because we should be thankful. Thankful for our salvation. Thankful for the Word of God. Thank you for the security of the believer. Thank you for so many things. Thank you for the health we have and the friendships we have and all the blessings we've got. And folks, I think it was Brother Mel Staten that said it this morning. He said, I'm thankful I live in America and I wish everybody could go spend time outside of America. Because again, we don't appreciate what we've got till it's taken away from us. You understand why those military fellows come back and fall down on the ground and do snow angels in the sand when they reach the East Coast, because they're so thankful to be back on American soil. We have been blessed. We've got so much to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Most of you know that. Sing it with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Let's do it one more time for good measure. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. Be mindful, if you would, to the next few days, that God doesn't just want you to be thankful because you're supposed to.